Please be seated. Good morning, Emmanuel, and welcome to our morning service today. Particular welcome to any visitors who might be worshipping with us, and if it is the case that you're new to Emmanuel, do please make yourself known to us before you leave. Greetings too this morning to those who are listening to the service later on by means of our recorded ministry. For whatever reason it is you're listening online, we do hope that you will enjoy the service and feel uplifted. In terms of notices, they are all in the weekly news sheet, so I do hope that you've all received a copy in whatever form you prefer. But I will underline the notice regarding the wearing of face masks. We certainly don't want to oblige anyone to wear a mask during worship, but we do ask you to be sympathetic to the needs of others who perhaps may be more vulnerable. In addition, one piece of family news I do have to give out. I suspect that Emmanuel's grapevine will have spread the word, but in fact, our minister Robert tested positive again for COVID during the week, so he's isolating at home. He was hoping to go off this weekend with friends from Bath Road on an away weekend. That is not the case. He's languishing at home with his COVID yet again. So do please bear him in mind in your prayers in the coming days, as well as others of our congregation who are in a similar situation. In terms of our service this morning, our thanks go to Stuart, who once again is filling our pulpit. And if you are listening to the service as a recording, other voices you will hear on your recording are those of me, Steve Brain, and that of David Bevan, who's going to be reading the New Testament lesson today from Luke's Gospel. We'll now have a few moments of quiet as I light the candle and we prepare to worship God.
Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
Welcome to our service of worship this morning. Let us pray together. Faithful Father, we begin today by giving you thanks. Your love endures forever. It never fails. Though there are many ways in which we have failed, we have not exceeded the supply of your mercy and grace. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. As we open the Bible today, we pray that we will hear your voice. We ask that your Holy Spirit should be at work, opening our ears to hear, our hearts to receive your word, and may we be transformed into your likeness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the psalmist writes for today, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world." So we are here together to worship this morning, and let's start by singing our first hymn. You'll find it at 492 in the Rejoice and Sing hymn book. "Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways." 492. join together now in prayer, and we'll finish these section of prayers together, saying the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray together. Lord, we know not what to ask of you. You alone know what our true needs are. You love us more than we love ourselves. Help us to see our real needs, which may be hidden from us. We dare not ask for either a cross or a consolation. We can only wait upon you, our hearts open to you. Visit and help us in your steadfast love. Strike us and heal us. Cast us down and raise us up. We worship in silence your holy will. We offer ourselves to you as living sacrifice. We put all our trust in you. We have no other desire than to fulfill your will. Teach us to pray and pray yourself in us. Listening God, sometimes we pray confidently, trusting in your love. Sometimes we approach you fearfully, conscious of our own failure. Sometimes we are reluctant to pray, evading your call to us. And sometimes our prayer is a snatched moment in the hassle of activity. But you always hear us, and so we have confidence in your company, to know ourselves as you know us, and to bring you our confessions. We own our humanness, O God. We know that there have been many moments when we have failed to be true to the hope of the reign of God, and the unity we know is found in you. We have not always received the gifts which lie within our differing human journeys, or in the insights which we could share. We've been tempted by the power and realities of our own stories, rather than the wonder of new life within each other. Forgive us, loving God, and call us to truly walk with you. God in Jesus Christ, hold us in your love and lead us together into a new journey and a future which is filled with hope. And know that we are forgiven and we forgive others too. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we join together in the prayer that goes, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We will now receive our offering and we'll dedicate it to the work of our Lord. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your grace and great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you now this offering today, and with it we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Amen. And let's say together the grace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Stephen will now take our first reading, and then David will follow up with our reading from the New Testament. Those of you who were here last week might recognise these readings, but by the time I found out that Brian had read them to you last week, it was too late. I'd finished writing the service. I really didn't have time to do it anymore. But we have a different interpretation, a more different interpretation.
Saves me saying precisely the same words. Thank you, Stuart. The Old Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Nehemiah. It's a reading that we don't often hear, and well worth listening to. I'm reading from chapter 8. Those of you who wish to follow it can find it on page 449 of the Old Testament in the pews. Chapter 8, and I shall be omitting verse 4 and verse 7, but the first 10 verses otherwise. All the people gathered together in the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. Ezra read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book from the law of God with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And now we turn to the New Testament for the reading from the Gospel of Luke.
The The New Testament reading is from page 58 of the Pew Bibles, and it's Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
So today's readings are a great encouragement to those who preach, those who end up preaching. Nehemiah, the people are restored by the reading of God's law. In the gospel passage, Jesus reads and preaches in the synagogue, proclaiming the good news. So today's readings are a reminder of the burden of the task of preaching, but also a great encouragement as to the power of preaching in revealing God, proclaiming a new age, and restoring God's people. And a reassurance that we do not do this alone, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. The reading from Nehemiah is from the 5th century BC and refers to the time when the Jews had returned to their homeland from their exile in Babylon. When Nehemiah heard of the difficulties that they were facing, particularly in rebuilding the walls and gates of Jerusalem, he got the emperor's permission to travel to Jerusalem and oversee its restoration. This was not without opposition or difficulties. Some political powers resisted the re-establishment of Jerusalem, and Nehemiah uncovered corruption within his own community as the rich exploited the poor. The more things changed, the more they stayed the same. The passage records the day when, after the completion of the restoration of Jerusalem's walls, the people gather to hear the words of God's law, read to them for the first time since their return. That's why it's a big event. The physical restoration of Jerusalem, it stands as a symbol and a prelude to their spiritual restoration, which will arise from their new relationship with God. And the passage that Stephen read recounts four movements. So firstly, there's the public reading of the law, the reading of the word of God. And this was an event for the whole community. It was for everyone in Jerusalem at that time. Secondly, there was worship, which we come across in verse 6. And the people have several reasons to praise God. They've returned from exile, they've rebuilt Jerusalem, and they're gathering to hear the word of God. And the word of God, as they know through Moses, was a gift from God himself. Thirdly, there's an explanation, or a reflection, if you like, rather like what I'm doing now, about what that law meant. The law was translated and it was explained to the people, as we heard, from early in the morning until midday. But don't worry, this service won't take quite that long. But should you want a service that starts early in the morning and lasts until midday, please hurry down the back to see me afterwards and we'll see what we can do. And finally, after the reading of the law, the worship and the explanation, there's celebration. And that's what we encounter in the last couple of verses. So, having had the law explained, the people are moved to tears
But encouraged by Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levites, they turn this into celebration because they understood what has been read to them. And I hope you understand everything that I will tell you this morning. Now, the passage from Luke, that follows on from Jesus being tempted in the desert and is Luke's first account of Jesus' public ministry. Apart from, as a boy in the temple, these are the first public words of Jesus recorded by Luke. So it's significant then that this first account of Jesus' public ministry takes place in the synagogue, the very center of religious life in Nazareth. And Luke tells us it was very usual for Jesus to go there on the Sabbath. He was a good Jewish boy. And the synagogue, as you probably know, was as much a place for teaching as it was for worship. So the worship and sacrifices, they were carried out in the main temple. And the members of the assembled company, all those who turned up on the Sabbath, would be called to read and explain the scriptures. As David read to us, Jesus himself picked out a scroll, Isaiah 61, the servant song. And when he finished reading, he sat down. And in the Jewish tradition, this was an indication that he was about to start teaching, as rabbis always taught from a seated position. And the message of Jesus to them was short and probably shocking. He says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And that's it. And in claiming the fulfillment of this passage he read from Isaiah, Jesus makes it his mission statement or his manifesto or his job from the outset to be a public minister. He uses the language of the poor, of the captives, the blind and the oppressed. And this would resonate with the story of Israel's history, particularly the Israelites themselves who lived life in exile, as we know from our first reading. And Jesus' statement is, therefore, an announcement of the coming of one who will return God's people from exile, who will open up God's ways of freedom and justice. And this is the frame story through which Luke sees the ministry of Jesus. Jesus has come to restore God's broken people. And the rest of Luke's story is about how Jesus fulfills that task. And what Jesus announces is, in a very real sense, gospel. Gospel, a word that means good news. The story of God's relationship with God's people has always had this gospel or good news movement. We're moving from bondage, from slavery to liberation, from exile to return, from destruction to restoration. And here, Jesus outlines the same gospel as his core purpose on this planet. He wants to move people from poverty to wholeness, from captivity to liberation, from blindness to sight, and from oppression to freedom. And what makes all of this possible? That the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It is the Spirit of God that blows this wind of freedom, filling God's servant with the power to fulfill his task. One theme running through both of these readings is the restoration of God's people. In Nehemiah, there's a physical restoration of Jerusalem and a spiritual restoration as people again hear the word of God. In Luke, Jesus proclaims that he is the fulfillment of Isaiah's words on restoration for the poor, those who are captives, those who are blind and oppressed. And only when each and every part of these is restored can we say that the whole body of God is complete. But where is God's restoration needed today? What situations are you aware of in our own communities where good news is needed? And these are very important questions. We may not have been in exile like the Israelites. We don't perhaps experience the same oppression that Jesus refers to in the Gospel of Luke. But we are, however, all people of this world and of these times. And our struggles may be different to those of the people of Jerusalem and the people of Nazareth. But the work of God continues. We're a month out now from Christmas. And if you remember last time I was in this pulpit banging on about God, I said that we were the Christmas people. And it's the work of Christmas, the work of Jesus that has to continue now that we've left the Christmas season behind us and looking towards Easter. And that's a change in our lives. And it's fairly obvious that there have been lots of changes, very dramatic ones, over the last 2 years. What we thought of as our normal lives have changed. And we have all suffered the loss. We have all experienced the effects of separation. And we need to rebuild, rather like the Israelites when they returned to Jerusalem. But we need to rebuild our lives and our relationships and our spirituality. Like the Israelites, we need to restore the things that are lost to our society. And like Jesus, we need to identify those who need help the most. Above all, the readings today encourage us to build back, but build back fairer. The pandemic, as you know, has highlighted some great inequalities in our society, in our nation, and in our local communities. Jesus' mission, his task, if we can call it that, is to be a servant to all, and in particular, those in poverty, the captives, and the oppressed. And it's interesting that wherever Christians are, that's where God is and where God should be. But God, as we know, is everywhere, even in, and perhaps especially in, those places where the Spirit might seem absent. And sometimes it's us that brings God's Spirit to those places. I've had the opportunity to see firsthand some of the work that goes on in the Great Western Hospital on the different clinical wards. I filled in there when we were short of staff. And there's a rich variety of people on those wards from different countries, different races, different creeds, people who are secular, people who are scientists, people who are faithful, all working together to care for those in need in the most difficult and high-pressured of circumstances. And here we see bodies restored, health improved, or where it is needed, comfort given to those who need it most. And I think the reason this happens is we need to be anchored in constant, flexible values and deep faith in our Lord. We've faced turmoils before as a human species and come out of it stronger. And by the grace of God, we'll do it again after this pandemic. But it doesn't happen by accident. God calls for a holy church and a prophetic voice so that there may be a proclamation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus and the turning of many to his saving love. And not to choose a chance of renewal like that is perhaps go back to the old ways of thinking about things. But above all, I think the message this morning is to look for signs of God at work in the world and to get stuck in. And there are hints of hope everywhere, signals of God's love for us. And if people are there, then that's where God is. Restoring relationships, assuring love, working towards justice, mercy, and peace. That we might try and rebuild a post-COVID world that looks a bit more like the kingdom of heaven. And in doing this, perhaps we'll restore our own walls, our own Jerusalems, and be a servant to all, like our teacher, Jesus. Amen. We'll sing together in one voice, and this time it's 480 in Rejoice and Sing. The church is like a table, so that's 480.
pray, come remind us the church is for us all, without hierarchy, without preferment. And let us now join together in prayer, thinking of the world about us, the people in it, those who we love, those who we find difficult to love, in our prayers of intercession. God of heaven and earth,
the state of our world convicts us and causes us to cling to you for dear life. The volatile history of humankind's fallen nature is recorded in the Bible. Human history is scarred. The deplorable conditions of our world continue to increase. Bless and heal this world, Father. And come, Lord Jesus. May your love comfort every soul as only you can. Bring hope to the hopeless and unity where there is conflict. Motivate us by love to work together to gather souls for Christ. Show us our place, Father, and embolden us to obey your direction, however strange that seems. While our world may crumble, you remain the same, loving, defending, and perfecting God. Amidst the rebellions and destructions, you reach down to restore us to the light of your presence through Jesus. Jesus' light pierces the darkness. We do not have to succumb to the doom and gloom reality of our society because we have the power of the living God in us through salvation in Jesus. Your love forges a path for us, illuminating the way and adjusting our perspective to see past destruction and look towards hope. You are a personal, saving God, creating each of us with a purpose, allowing us to feel your love and extend that love to others. May your love rule our hearts, because all life flows through it. Forgive us for allowing the ways of the world to overwhelm us, and help us to be a consistent source of light for all those around us. You see us, God. You hear us. You are good and you are fair. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Repair our wreckage. God of our memories, bless and empower us with spirit-filled confidence. Lord of our hearts, may we do all we can to bring glory and honor to you, as shards of light piercing the darkness. And we think of those brothers and sisters to this church who we know are struggling with the effects of the coronavirus at the moment. Our own minister Robert, Helen and Eddie, Bill and Judith. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you those people who may not struggle with COVID, but may struggle with other things in their lives. Healing Lord, we ask you to bring your love and your grace to all those situations that we have thought of. Lord, you call us to do your work. You call us to be storytellers, planting your explosive news into our defended lives, locating us in the script of your human history. You call us to be trailblazers, living in your future that we receive only as a gift, subverting the fixed, fated, low horizons of this world. You call us to be weavers, tracing, stretching, connecting the knotted threads, gathering up, unraveling disconnected lives. You call us to be fools for Christ's sake, bearing life's absurdities and incongruities, puncturing our seriousness and grandiosity. You call us to be hosts, welcomers of the scared, transfiguring their lives. Lavish celebrants of our communities and homecomings. You call us to be poets, artists, and illuminators of your inner space, naming, invoking, heralding your presence. You call us to be gardeners, sowers, cultivators, nurturers of fragile lives, benefactors of your harvest. You call us to be conductors, celebrating music, coaxing symphony, orchestrating the praise of your inhabited creation. Lord, you lavish your gifts on all whom you call. And you have promised through your Son, Jesus, that when we meet in his name and pray according to his mind, he will be among us and hear our prayer. In your love and mercy, fulfill our desires and give us your greatest gift, which is to know you and to know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, again from Rejoice and Sing, is number 523. It's one that's probably very well known to you all. Give me joy in my heart. Keep me praising. May God's word be in your touch. May God's word direct your feet. On this day and all your days to come, may God's word be the life you live, now and forevermore. Amen.